Prices are no strangers to us. They've been through here several times through the course of the year as they've had some children come to college and get married, and one stays and one leaves. And so, you know, it's just fantastic, I think, being part of God's work. And the work is so much bigger than what we could ever imagine. And the way God moves people around to accomplish His task is just a marvel as well. And the Prices, I mentioned this morning, are making a transition in their ministry. And we're going to have Brother Price come right now. And I'm not going to say a whole lot. I'll let you fill us in on all the details and preach to us as well. Good to have you here. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Sullivan. Good evening, church family. Amen. Amen. I do want to thank Pastor for the opportunity to be here and to preach tonight. It's a real blessing to be able to do that. And folks, thank you for welcoming us into the Pembina Valley Church family. And we are very privileged to be a part of this great church. And I trust that we will serve you well as we go from church to church. And we will be a blessing to others as we go. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Psalms 119:41. And while you're turning there, this is all new to me. I'm still trying to get my life organized with all the things that I got to do up in the pulpit anymore. We have some brochures on the table. And it will tell you a little bit about First Bible International. It's called Billions Are Still Waiting. Please pick up one of those brochures. Don't be shy if there's only one left. We'll put some more out there. And the 1040 window tells you a little bit about what the 1040 window is and the challenge and the job that we have to do there in the 1040 window. So please pick those up. And also, some of you may have already picked up these prayer cards. And I believe there's five different people groups there. And these five people groups have never had a Bible in their language that they can rely upon. When you say turn to the Word of God, they can't do that. And so what we're doing is we're praying for these people groups that God would raise up translators, God would raise up missionaries, God would raise up church planters, men and women that would go and they would minister to the Damari people, for instance, or the Aceh people, or the Pashtun people. But it all starts with God's people here praying. Amen. And so please take these prayer cards. You can take one or five or whatever you prayerfully can use, and take them and pray for these folks. And also, there's some prayer bands up there. I didn't take one with me, but there are prayer bands there of different people groups. And take those and pray for these folks as well. Now, I've had this one on since Camp Joy about a year and a half ago, and it is one of the most irritating things I have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. I don't wear rings, I don't wear jewelry of any kind, and but this prayer band I've had on, and it just gets sweaty and irritating. I know, what a way to advertise something, amen? But you know what it does? You move it around because it does irritate you a little bit, and you think to pray. You think to pray. And so let me encourage you to take those prayer bands. There's some that even said, could God use you? And the obvious answer is what?
Yes.
Yes. I mean, if God can use me, and if God can use Brother Helm, I tell you, God can use anyone. Amen? Amen? You know, we're all made out of the same flesh, aren't we? And I'm so thankful to be in the work of the Lord. And there's another prayer card there. My wife and I, our prayer card. And do pray for my wife especially. Amen? She needs lots of prayer, not because of any other reason that I'm there, amen? But pray for us, take a prayer card, and pray for us. There's also something there, the Gospel of Mark. There is a Mongolian Gospel of Mark. You say, why do you have that out there? Well, a number of years ago, they did not have any scripture in their language. First Bible took it upon themselves and the challenge to start producing scripture in the Mongolian language. And this was one of the first translations that they did in the Gospel of Mark. And I have a number of them out on the table. And I'm just thrilled to be able to have the Word of God translated. Now, you folks had a part in the Mongolian scripture, and they're still translating the Old Testament. They're still working on that. I believe you folks had the raised money for the book of Joshua. And how exciting. How exciting to be involved in something like that. Vision Baptist, we did the book of Zechariah. And we've been involved. Vision Baptist has been involved from almost day one in this translation project. There's also a New Testament out there, a finished product. Finished product. So if a preacher says to someone in their church, turn with me to Mark so-and-so, they can. If they say, turn with me to John chapter 3:16, they can. That's pretty exciting. Amen. And so please take that. It'll be a reminder to pray for the Mongolian people. If you know how to read that, then you'll be able to read the Mongolian language. There's two other things back there I'll draw your attention to. One is, for many years, the Independent Baptists have really not done much with regards to translation. It's really been an avenue, an area where the Independent Baptists have dropped the ball. Well, there's been a number of men and women who caught the vision for translation work. And First Bible, our First Baptist Church of Milford in Milford, Ohio, has now started the First Bible School of Translation. It is a graduate program, a three-year graduate program. And there is a pamphlet back there. If you're interested, please see me after. I only have a few of them. They're almost like gold. And then the other thing is out there is a booklet that looks like this, only it's for the Damari people. And what this is a curriculum for either homeschools, Christian schools, or for Sunday schools. And I believe the First Bible has four or five of these different people groups. The Damari, the Ache, I think the Duong, and one other. I'm not sure what the other one is. But you can go through and you can teach, and it gives the young people an idea about what translation work is and challenges our young people about translation. The reality is, I'm too old to be a translator. I know that shocks you. But I'm too old, amen, to be a translator. It's a young man, young woman's ministry. You start at 20, 15, 12, because it's a lifetime work. And so if we can challenge our young people to be translators and church planters at a young age, who knows what God can do? Because God can use them. Amen? God can use them. And someone said, well, Where are you a missionary to? I'm a missionary to the world. I like to say I'm an advocate for the unreached. An advocate for the unreached. And my ministry, or our ministry, I'm thankful for my wife standing by me all these years, and my son, well, begrudgingly sometimes. Oh, Dad, do we got to drive again? My ministry is to challenge churches and young people about this area of translation work, about church planting, and that God can use them. God, you can use. I see a number of young men and young ladies over in this side. You know, God can use you in a mighty way, beyond what you could ever imagine, beyond what you can ever imagine. So tonight, my challenge is going to be to challenge you. Amen. So Psalms chapter 119. Most of you know that Psalms 119 is divided up into 22 different portions, and each portion begins with one of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And God loves His Word. Amen? God loves His Word. So I want to start in verse 41, and we're going to read down to verse 60. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. Take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. I will walk at liberty, for I will seek thy precepts. Isn't that great? Amen. Liberty comes from the Word of God. Following the Word of God. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. I will delight myself in thy commandments which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou caused me to hope. This is my comfort and my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our Bibles. Thank you that you have revealed yourself to us through the Word of God. Over and over we see Jesus Christ in the pages of Scripture. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you rose from the dead to give us that eternal life, forgiveness of sin, that we might fellowship with you. Father, I need you tonight. I need you in a great and mighty way. And these folks need you. They want to hear from you tonight. They didn't just come to do church. They came to hear from your word. And I pray that that might be a reality. Holy Spirit, we need you to meet with us. And we pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. What does the Bible mean to you? What does the Bible mean to you? It comforts us in trials. Amen. It encourages us when we're down. It spanks us, chastens us when we're in sin. It gives us hope when we repent. It assures us when we doubt. It gives us guidance for life. It challenges you to live better. It prods us to love our enemies and each other. It draws us into fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, it says this. Romans 15:4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. What a wonderful passage of Scripture, amen? We might have comfort through the pages of the Scripture. What does the Bible mean to you? Is it just a book that we carry to church on a Sunday morning? We place down when we go home, and then we try and find it Sunday morning on our way to church? Or is it something that we read day by day and we try and get truth for our lives? Is it something when we open the book, do we say, let me behold wondrous things out of thy law? Is this really a book that means something to us? You know, when you go to a country that have never had the Bible and they get the Bible, they hug that Bible. Tears run down their face. They have a Bible. They have God's Word now speaking to them. And there is nothing. I saw it in Cuba, and we gave out John Romans. It wasn't a whole Bible, and people were so thankful that they had a portion of the Scripture for the very first time. It is amazing. Does the Bible mean something to you? You know, this is the very Word of God. This is the inspired, God-breathed book. The one who created the heavens and the earth. The one who put the stars and the moon and all of the universes and galaxies in their places. He breathed into this book. Amen? It's a God-breathed book. It is like no other book in this world. And you know, we have higher criticism that tries to bring the Bible down to just some other book. And they view it like some other book, Plato or Socrates. Folks, this is like no other, amen? This is a God-breathed book. And you know what? The Lord has been pleased to preserve that book for us. Think about that for a moment. From generation to generation to generation to generation, God has allowed that book to come to us. And if the Lord should tarry, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, for generations to come, this book will be preserved for them. Isn't that amazing? What a great God we serve. A powerful God. Our God's book is a living book. John 6:63 says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life." It is a living book. Hebrews says, "For the word of God is quick, it's alive, it's and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." What a great book. Is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. When we're about to do wrong, the Lord will bring a verse to our mind. Amen? The Holy Spirit will bring something to mind. Oh, don't you do that. And when we're down, the Holy Spirit will bring a verse to our mind and encourage us. Amen? It is a living book. It's not a dead old book. Amen? It is alive. I've said this a few times. You can almost hear the heartbeat. The thump, the thump, the thump. It's a living book, amen? It's a living book. God's Word is eternal. It's an eternal book. 1 Peter 1:23, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." Matthew 24:35, "Heaven and earth shall pass, but my word shall not pass away." This book is eternal. Amen? When we get up to glory, guess what we'll be able to read? God's book. Amen? It is eternal. Heaven and earth will pass away. What we see and what we feel and what we experience, that'll all be gone. But this old book will still be around. Amen? God's Word is authoritative. "Thus saith the Lord." 415 times it says, "Thus saith the Lord." It is written 80 times. Commandments 171 times. So whatever God says in His Word, it's true. And it's authoritative. Amen? When He says, "Don't do this," we know we ought not to do that. We may not even understand why. Right? But we obey. By the way, the letters in red, I have a red letter Bible. Anyone have a red letter Bible? Those are no more important than the black letters, just so you know that, amen? I had a guy tell me just recently, "Well, I really love the words that are in red because they're Jesus' words." Well, guess what? So is Genesis 1:1. Amen? And all the way through, those are all the words of our Lord. The red letter has no more importance than the black letter. They're the same. God's Word is pure. "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." This means there are no errors or mistakes. We don't have to open the Word of God and say, I wonder if that verse is really that verse. I wonder if that verse is should be translated. I know I'm giving you a real hard time up there, aren't I? Try and keep up. Amen, brother. They're pure words. No errors. We don't have to wonder if the last few verses in Mark are really there. Amen. We don't have to wonder if John chapter 5 is should be translated something different. We don't have to wonder if there's a word missing or a word added. We have the very pure Word of God. Amen? Without error. God's Word is life-changing. It's life-changing. 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You know, this book tells us about Jesus Christ. This book tells us about the way of salvation that is only found in Jesus Christ. Amen. Like Pastor said, there is no baptism. There is no good works. There is no church membership. There's no reading the Bible. There's no prayer life. There's nothing else that can save you except through Jesus Christ. And that way is found in the Scriptures. Amen. It's able to make us wise unto salvation. It'll change your life. Change mine. 1983, I accepted Christ as my Savior. Change my life. Change my life. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. It is the incorruptible seed by which we are birthed into the family of God. Amen. We become a child of God through the Scripture. The Scripture and the Holy Spirit of God. So if there's no Scripture, can a person be saved? Being born again of, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. By the what? Word of God. You have to have the Word of God for salvation. I know, I'll let you chew on that one. Psalms 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Folks, once we get saved, doesn't it change us? Doesn't the Word of God change us day by day by day and conform us into the image of our Lord? It converts us, amen. It is a life-changing book. We live in a day and age where there's all these pills, all these programs, all of these life coaches that can help change your life. No. All you need is the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Amen. And that'll change your life. That'll change your life. So, how important is this book to you? How important is this book to you? What a wonderful book God has given us. Amen. Let me ask this question. I have here my very first Bible. Do you remember your first Bible? Many people still have their first Bibles. Some got them. Some of them I remember getting a little New Testament, a little red New Testament when I was in grade 5 at public school. Some of you may have gotten that. That kind of dates some of us, amen. But do you remember your first Bible? You know, many people, that's their first Bible. When you go to some of these countries and you say, open your Bible, that's what they have. They have a blank book. A blank book. They can't point to their first Bible. They can't remember their first Bible. They can't go back in their memory and have fond memories of that first Bible. They can't go back in their memory to hear their father open the Bible at the dinner table or whenever devotions might have been and read from the Bible to them. They can't imagine that because that's their first Bible. That's their first Bible. That's pretty sad, isn't it? Some of us have 4, 5, 6, 8 Bibles kicking around the house. Some of them are kicked on the floor. A little side note. I don't know if the Bible belongs on the floor, amen? And I'm not sure if any book belongs on top of the Bible. I've been trying to practice never putting something on top of my Bible. Okay, you're religious, Price. You're religious, maybe. But maybe we should just have a little more love for this old book, amen? Look in Matthew 28:19. So probably more than half of this world does not have a first Bible. They don't have a Bible. 4.3 billion, more or less. Yet that's been the plan of God. Matthew chapter 28. This is the Great Commission. You've heard preaching out of this probably from many, many preachers over the years. Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. This is the mandate given to the church, right? To go into all the world and preach the gospel. This is the Great Commission. Shows up 5 times in our scriptures. And we know we need to go out and tell people about Jesus Christ. But let me draw your attention to a thought about this. It says, go into, go ye therefore and teach all English-speaking nations. That's in the Greek. Did you catch that? Go into all the world and go into, go ye therefore and teach all nations. All nations. So all nations means different tongues, right? Different tribes, correct? It means those that may have a tribe of 500 people or a tribe that has 5 million people. But we're to go into the world and teach all nations of all different languages and nationalities and cultures, kindreds and tongues, amen? That is what God's plan has been for the church since day one.
That's right.
Then he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. So not only are we to reach them and teach them about Jesus Christ, but then we are to teach them all things whatsoever he's commanded us. Right? So we're to teach all of this, and yet right now this is all they have. Do you think we failed? Do you think we've dropped the ball? And you could say, well, because of this and because of that, and we can all find these excuses. But what are we doing now with the technology we have? Have we caught the vision to transform this into this? Amen. Take this and give them this. So teach all nations. Now, lest you think, turn with me to Acts chapter 2. And lest you think I'm talking about taking the English Bible and teaching them to speak English, I'm not saying that at all. Not at all. But this is our Bible for English-speaking people, amen? The preserved Word of God found in our King James Bible, amen? That's our Bible. That's what God's allowed us to have. But it started out in Hebrew and Greek and Aramaic. So we need to take that and give them a Bible. By the way, there is no original copy of any of the scripture. You understand that? If you go to a website, a church website, and they say, well, we believe the Word of God as it is written in the originals. Well, they don't have any original manuscript. You know, they have a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy. You understand that, amen? We are to take what God has preserved for us and give it to every nation, every tongue, every tribe. I believe this is God's plan right from the beginning. Look in Acts chapter 2 and verse 8. It says, how hear we every man in our, circle that next word, own tongue. This is the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit was poured out, empowering the then church, amen, and empowering the church, and the Holy Spirit's poured out, and it says that they heard every man in their own tongue wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia and Egypt and the parts of Libya and Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues, the wonderful works of God. There are 4.3 billion people, many tribes, tongues, that do not have the ability to hear the wonderful works of God. That's sad. That's a shame. And folks, we need to change that. Amen? We need to change that. We need to get behind this program of getting the Bible translated. Let's see, I got something here for Brother Helm. Something special. Where did I put it? Ah, here it is. Brother Helm's he doesn't know this, by the way. He is going to read something for us in a moment. In fact, right now, brother, would you stand up and just take this and read this to the people, please? Sit down, brother. Thank you. You know, in order to fulfill the Great Commission, we need to have the Word of God in a presentation that they can understand. Amen? Now, if he did that, and we expect this, you know, we go to a people as a missionary and we say, hey, listen, I've got the very Word of God here, and you have to hear what God says. And we speak to them in English, or we try and teach them English, or we try and learn the language. And I'm not minimizing any of that. Don't misunderstand. But then we're speaking in tongues to them that they can't understand. They don't have this. We need to give them this so that they can understand the wonderful works of God. Amen? We have to give it into a presentation they can understand. It is, look with me in Isaiah 29. Actually, go to Romans first, chapter 3 and verse 1. You know, we can teach people English and then give them a King James Bible. But how much better to learn their language or give them a Bible in their language. Amen? Right off the bat. And help them to understand the Scriptures. Folks, the church has been given the Great Commission. And it includes the translation of God's Word and the preservation of God's Word. If you remember, a few years ago, we did from Vision Baptist brought the equipment and some French scripture, and you folks assembled the French John Romans to give to a church plant, and I believe it was Montreal. Every time a John and Romans produced, did you know that's preserving the Word of God? Right? Because what was not there is now there. That's preserving the Word of God. Amen? And so that command has been given to the church. Romans chapter 3 and verse 1. Paul said this, "What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision?" He says, "Much every way." Folks, you think about the Jewish people. God carved out the Jewish people out of a heathen people and made of them a great nation. Amen? They had the tabernacle. They had the sacrifices. They had the priesthood. They had the very presence of God. So Paul says, much every way. Boy, being a Jew had great advantage. Amen? But notice what he says here. Chiefly, above all those advantages, look at the advantages that they have. Unto them were committed the oracles of God. Out of all of the advantages, Paul said, chiefly, you were given the Word of God. Folks, who's been given the Word of God now? I know, Zondervan. Nelson. The Bible societies. No. The church. Timothy says the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. It does not create truth. It propagates truth. Amen? So folks, the church has been given this responsibility, this stewardship, the very Word of God. The eternal Word of God, the pure Word of God, the life-changing Word of God, God has given that to us. What an amazing responsibility. What a privilege that is. Amen? We need to take that seriously, because if we don't, it will be a sealed book to many people. Look with me in Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 11. Brother Helm, what time do you normally finish? 7:15. So preach fast. Is that what you're saying, brother? Isaiah 29, verse 11. It says, "And the vision of all is become unto you as read as unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned." Did you remember me delivering a book to one that is learned? Brother Helm's learned, right? Very learned man. Amen. Yeah, he is, right? Amen. But he couldn't read it because it was a sealed book. Notice as we go on. "Read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I'm not learned. I'm not learned in the Mongolian language. I couldn't read it." Folks, 4.3 billion people have a sealed book. Amen? A sealed book. And even if we gave them the very Word of God in English, still a sealed book. Let me give you a few thoughts about... Let me give you this first. If we were to take 100 people representing the world, so we just... The world is comprised of 100 people. 4 would have a reliable, authoritative Word of God. A reliable, authoritative Word of God. Not just some book that's been translated into their language. Because there are some organizations that are translating, but they're translating from the critical text rather than the TR. But only 4 would have an authoritative, reliable, readable book out of 100. 4. 12 would have a New Testament. 53 would have absolutely nothing. It's a sealed book for many in this world. We have a huge job on our hands. Tyndale, who wrote most of our Bible, said in his preface to his 1530 edition of the Pentateuch, "Which thing only moved me to translate the New Testament, because I had perceived by experience how that it was impossible to establish the lay people in any truth except the scripture were plainly laid before their eyes in their mother tongue, that they might see the process, order, and meaning of the text." Tyndale said, listen, it's no good to have the Latin because it's a sealed book. We have to open the book in the English language so the people can understand what God is saying to them. That's what moved Tyndale to sacrifice to get us this book. Think about that. Read about Tyndale. You'll find out a huge sacrifice he made so that English-speaking people could have a Bible. G. Campbell Morgan says, "The story of missions the whole wide world over shows that success or failure of missions has always been dependent on whether those brought to Christ had the scriptures in their own language or not. Success or failure depended if they had the scriptures or not." Oswald J. Smith said, "Unless and until we give the word of God to everyone in his native tongue, the world cannot be evangelized." That's pretty final, isn't it? Cannot be evangelized. Cannot be evangelized without the word of God. Folks, we have a huge challenge ahead of us. Stewart of Lovedale said, "No record exists, as far as I know, of any mission, whatever be its method or history, making a real progress and becoming permanent among any people if the Bible had not been given to them in their own vernacular. Indeed, history records no single example of a sound, long-lived indigenous church without vernacular scriptures." Folks, we send out church planters, but we give them no tool. We need churches, amen? The church is the hope of the world. Thank you. It is the hope of the world, amen? And I understand Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. But folks, he planted the church. He's the head of the church. He wants churches to be planted, amen? There's a reason. Because the church is the hope of the world. He's given the Great Commission to the church. Let me give you a couple other thoughts. Brother Friesen's going to help me with this one. Now, do you all like pretending? Go like this. We all like imagination. Come on up, Brother Friesen. Now, Brother Friesen, you pretend you're all German. Okay? So you're all German speakers, right? Go like this. Thank you. He is my interpreter. I do not speak German. And that's true, I don't. But he's going to interpret what I say to you because that's what missionaries do in a country, amen? Amen. They need an interpreter many times, especially in the early years, because the preacher, the missionary, doesn't know the language. So he gets an interpreter to help. Now, you'll see a problem of missions in a moment. I'm going to read John chapter 15, verse 1, brother. Okay. It says, "I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman."
I call Brother Friesen om in Yelp even.
Why are you all laughing?
I like that.
I have a feeling he didn't say what I said, amen? What did you say, brother?
I'm going to give all my money to Brother Friesen.
You may sit. See, here's the problem of missions, is if they don't have a Bible, you know what they're going to do? They're just going to remember what the missionary said. If that missionary goes away, that's all they have. If they go home and they don't have a Bible, all they're going to remember is, what did the missionary say? And if the missionary has an interpreter, did the missionary interpret correctly? Amen? Right? The missionary wouldn't know. Right? I had no clue what he said. You all did. But I didn't. See, that's a problem of missions, isn't it? Is communication. Have you ever done that little game where you tell a story in one ear and then there's 20 people or less, and by the end of it you see if that story is still the story you told them, and it never is? See, isn't that a problem of communication? But if there's a Bible, that sure eliminates a lot of communication problem. And Brother Friesen would never get any money. Amen. So the problem of missionaries that do not have the Word of God is the people have to remember what the missionary said. The people have to remember, did the missionary actually, or did the interpreter actually say what the missionary said? Right? That's another problem. What the hearer's obedience is. Look in Psalms 111, verse 10. Do you want to understand more of the Bible? Well, there's one fellow who wants to. Amen. I'll give you a secret of understanding more of the Word of God. Now, don't tell anybody else, okay? This is a secret just between you and me. Psalms 111 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. So how do you get more understanding of the Word of God? You do His commandments. Thy Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Amen? So if you want understanding, then you have to be obedient. And as you're obedient, you get more understanding. And you become more obedient, and you get more understanding, and it's a cycle, amen? So the missionary on the mission field, the people have to be obedient in order to get more light. Correct? And if they're not obedient to the light they have, they don't get more light. Look in Esther. I'm going to just bring this to a close. Esther. Chapter 3. Y'all understand that about the book of Esther. Esther was a very brave woman. Esther's uncle Mordecai was a Jew. Of course, she was a Jew. And there was a pronouncement upon the Jews for their death. And the king sent out a letter. Now, whenever the king sent out a letter, it was very important. Amen? He wanted everybody to read. Notice this. In Esther 3:12, then were the king's scribes called on the 13th day of the first month. And there was written according to all that Haman had commanded unto the king's lieutenants and to the governors that were over every province and to the rulers of every people of every province according to the writing thereof and to every people after their language in the name of King Ahasuerus, what was it written and sealed with the king's post. So Haman had the king's ring and got together all those that all the scribes and they wrote the king's the letter for the king in the name of the king. But notice it said to every people after their language. The king had a message, and it was important enough to get into every language in the king's realm. Look in Esther chapter 8 and verse 9. The king sent out another letter. And we know the story. It was to countermand, if you will, the other letter. But it says, then were the king's scribes called at that time in the third month That is the month of Sivan, on the 23rd day thereof. And it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded unto the Jews, to the lieutenants and the deputies and rulers of the provinces, which are from India unto Ethiopia, 127 provinces, unto every province according to the writing thereof, unto every people after their language. Here's my point. If that king's message was so important that he had scribes, he had people trained in these different languages, I'm sure he had translation schools, I'm sure he had set up places of education so that when he wanted something to be sent out, it could be written in every language in his realm. Don't you think we have an important message to be sent out to our king's realm? Amen. I subscribe to you that we need to get busy and getting some of these schools started. We need to get busy in vision. There was a couple of young people. Their parents had caught the vision. One was learning Latin and one was learning, what was the other language? Greek. No, Hebrew. I thought, what a vision. Amen. What a vision. And they were 10 and 12 years old. Why shouldn't we do that? Amen. Why can't we start training our young people young? Young people young. Anyway. Training them while they're young. These different languages. You say, I can't speak those languages. Well, let me encourage you. If you already speak German in the home or Russian or Tagalog, or whatever language you might be from as a second language, well, English would be your second. Talk to your kids. Keep that language alive. Keep that language alive in the home. It's so invaluable to keep that language alive and living in the home. Amen. So important. And then expose them to other languages. Greek and Hebrew. Psalm 68 verse 11 says, the Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Are we part of that great company? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. My challenge tonight was simple. We are the church. We need to be busy in this translation work. We need to be busy surrendering to this area of our lives. Now, some of us are a little bit too mature to be able to translate Scripture. But maybe we can encourage our grandchildren or our children to surrender to this area of translation work. Surrender to the area of missions, church planting, telling someone about the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, is the Word of God valuable to you? If you never had the Bible and you finally got a Bible in your hands, wouldn't that be so valuable? Wouldn't that be so wonderful? And yet we have the Bible available to us all the time. Has it become so commonplace that it's no longer that special? It's no longer something that we hug and hold and value enough to open it every day and hear from our loving Lord. Let's stand, please. If the Lord's spoken to you, why don't you come down to the front as the piano begins to play? If the Lord's spoken, why don't you come and deal with whatever the Lord has laid on your heart?